And as you do that, we're going to engage you together. So everyone loves the children's messages, right? And pastors sometimes love the children's messages. So children, have you ever given a gift to someone? And when you give that gift, as soon as they open it, you can tell by their face whether or not they liked the gift. Anybody have that? So, you know, what you're hoping for is that they're going to have a face like this. They're all going to be excited about that gift. But sometimes you get this look, and they are disappointed with the gift, or maybe they're perplexed. I don't have that one up here. Our faces can show others just how we feel. And if they're disappointed in your gift, you might have felt like this and been sad. Or you may have even gotten to this point because you spent a lot of time on that gift and you don't feel appreciated and you got angry. See, our faces disclose a lot about us. Today we're going to be taking a look in our service about two brothers from Genesis chapter 4. These two brothers, and you may have a sibling at home if you're blessed with siblings, or if you're blessed with siblings, we'll say it that way. So you may have brothers or sisters. Maybe you're an only child and you wish you had a sibling. You might think again about that after you hear this passage. So I'm going to read from Genesis 4 a little bit, and we're going to watch for where the facial expressions are in this passage. So Adam and Eve had a baby. She became pregnant. She had a baby. She gave birth to Cain. And she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother. And his name was Abel. When they grew, Abel became a shepherd. And Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Another version says his face fell, looked dejected. Cain and Abel both brought a gift to God. Cain's gift was from the crop, but we're not told much more about that. There are some hints in there. It was during the harvest, and so he brought some of the harvest crop to the Lord. Maybe it was after he'd already filled his barns. Maybe it was an afterthought. Abel, it says, instead brought from the first of his flock. So he was a shepherd. He had all these sheep. He brought one of the very firstborn. Now, if you know anything about livestock, just because you have a firstborn doesn't mean you're going to have a secondborn. So it was a huge sacrifice for him as a shepherd to bring this little lamb and bring it to God. Abel gave a lot of thought to his gift, and it was sacrificial. It cost him. And that made God happy. He was excited about that gift. But for some reason, Cain's gift and the issues with his heart, God wasn't happy with that gift. In fact, he ends up being very disappointed in Cain. Because Cain allowed his jealousy with his sibling to create anger. And it had a horrible ending where he actually raised up and he murdered. The very first murder in the Bible is two brothers. This made God very sad. You see, to worship God is to give him a gift that says, "I love you, you are special." Worship is more than something that we do on Sunday mornings. It's more than what you're doing around the tables in the fellowship hall or if you're worshiping with us at home. Worship is offering to God our lives and choosing to be in a relationship with him that makes him very happy. If you're worshiping with us in our hands-on venue, one of the things that's at your table for this time together are two pieces of paper that look like this, identical. It's coloring sheets over there. A bunch of people are going to be exiting from here to go get them because you really want these. You have two of them and are identical because what we want you to do is think of someone to give that to, that picture to, but your first thing you're going to do is you're going to make a draft of it. You're going to figure out what colors you want to use, and you're going to fill in that. And then as the sermon goes on and as the service goes on, take that idea and make it into a final picture, something that has had thought and intentionality. And then take that picture and give it to someone special and watch and see if God blesses you with a smile from them. Lord, we want to thank you right now for this time of worship. As we take a look at your word together, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to understand it. Don't allow us to take it lightly, flippantly. But I pray, Father, that our faith would be drawn into a deeper place because of our time in your word together. In your name, amen. We're starting off our sermon series this summer on Hebrews chapter 11. The entire chapter is where we're going to be all summer long, so if you want to get your fingers turned there, Hebrews chapter 11. And as we do that, I want you to think about our society in the last number of years. We have become a society of emojis, haven't we? Some of you see these things come up on your phone, and some people go crazy with these things on their phones. I'm going, stop already. Well, you know, what is all this? I've got people that will do an emoji if they're online for worship, and one of them is my mom. And mom, I love you watching us for worship. You need to get a better skill with your emojis, because sometimes mom's emoji comes up with this one. I'm going, I start to think about what did I say wrong in my sermon that my mom is not happy. But it must be that it's just too close to the other ones. So an emoji is a pictograph. It's a picture story of someone's emotions. Emojis were actually originated back in 1997. Did you know that? They came to us from Japan. Japanese mobile phones became an increasingly popular place for emojis to be shared. And then as it spread into the next century, 20,000 and up to today, they become very elaborate with our emojis. It went from just the two dots with the smile face, right, to I've got a bunch of them that look like my face. That's a scary thought. But scattered throughout our worship areas, you will find a sheet like this, whether it's at your table or if it's in one of the chairs. And so as we're going through the service, first of all, I want you to think about, as you came to worship today, which one of these emojis is representing you? And maybe you're daring enough, you point it out to those sitting around you right now. This is where I'm at today in my worship of the Lord. And we're hoping that everybody comes, you know, like with these heart eyes or with a big smile, but maybe you're coming at it with a crying face, sad. Maybe you're tired. Hopefully today, maybe you'll be a little surprised as you leave here. So we want you to be thinking today, not only about how you came to worship, but how might God be looking down on us? What emoji might God be having because we've gathered to worship him together? Let's consider how we can move our worship today and through this week to a place where God says, I love it. Thank you, as he opens our gift. We're going to be taking a look at Hebrews chapter 11. And in the very beginning of Hebrews 11, we find a definition for faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is an assurance of something that I'm hoping for. It's a conviction of something I do not see. See, faith is something outside of myself. When I'm, Darren mentioned about going on the kayaking trip, we kayaked about 10 to 12 miles a day down a river that had several series of rapids. And when you get into a kayak, You have to have some faith. Faith that it's going to float, first of all, right? Maybe you have to have some faith in those around you that they're going to not lead you astray, Dwayne. But you have to have some faith in regards to things in life. And normally those things are outside of who we are. It's faith outside of my own capabilities, in trusting in something deeper. There's a difference between religiously being faithful and relationally being faithful. I'll give you an example. In marriage, when we give wedding vows in a marriage, I'm vowing to be faithful to my spouse, right? Now, some people approach that from I religiously have to be faithful. I want to challenge that because that's not the right heart for being faithful. I don't want to be faithful because my vow said I would be faithful. I want to be faithful because my relationship with my spouse is growing to a place where I would never want to hurt, harm, or injure that person. I relationally want to be faithful to them. Faith, in our definition for Crosspoint, it's one of our practices that we have listed. Faith is responding actively and appropriately, actively, not just passively, actively responding and appropriately responding to God, his story, and to the gospel that he offers us. To God, who he is in his holiness. I respond actively and appropriately to him. To his story, which is spelled out through the pages of the Bible. And he invites us to become a part of that story through the gospel that is offered to us. My prayer is that through this summer, when we look at the examples of faith in Hebrews 11 in the coming weeks, we're going to better understand how the practice of faith that we're going to understand through these examples how to practice faith relationally with God, to grow deeper into that relationship through worship. Our first example is found in verse 4 of chapter 11, and it's with Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. It's interesting that the people that are chosen in this chapter to bring out as examples of faith. Abel, we're told very little about this individual, totaling maybe 10 verses in the entire Bible. Very small picture of who he was. Abel, second child to Adam and Eve. It says that Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous by his sacrifice. If we want to find out a little bit more, let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. We looked at it earlier with the children's message. In this version, I was reading out of the New Living Translation for the children's message, but in the English Standard Version, it says this: Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel in his offering, but for Cain in his offering he had no regard. Wow. In this passage, we see first and foremost that this relationship between Adam and Eve resulted in these children as a blessing. Cain being the first, Abel being the second. Actually, names mean a lot, don't they? Some of you may have been named after someone special for your parents, somebody in the family name. Abel's name actually means breath. And it could refer to the brevity of his life as a prophecy of that. Abel. We're also told that this individual was a keeper of sheep of the flocks. So he was a shepherd. But we see within this passage that he was also a worshiper of God. We haven't even seen God come to the people of Israel and give them the instructions in regards to what was supposed to happen with sacrifice yet. That doesn't happen until Moses. But we see here, sacrifice was already taking place. Worship was taking place, even with the first two children of Adam and Eve. Where did they learn it? Well, from mom and dad. It got passed on. It wasn't lost in the garden with the fall. And the very first sacrifice, do you remember what the very first sacrifice was? Clothing to cover them after they sinned. So Abel was a child of Adam and Eve. He was a shepherd. He was a worshiper of God. As we read on, we find out more. He talks about him bringing the offering. Cain's response was one of jealousy and anger. Cain, the Lord had regard for Abel in his offering, but for Cain in his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry. His face fell. And the Lord said, Why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will not you be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. And then this horrible thing happens. Cain spoke to his brother, stopped listening to God, allows the anger to continue to swell up within him, to devour his heart. He speaks to his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Shows you how far his heart was from the Lord. And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground." And then he goes on and he talks about the cursing of Cain. You know, in this passage, we had two offerings. And you say, well, wait a minute, why? They worshiped God. They brought offerings. Why was one accepted and one rejected? And I think we need to ask that about our own worship and what we bring to the Lord in worship. You know, is it enough for us to put money in an offering? Is it enough for us to give time to serve in children's ministry and in worship? Well, it all goes back to our heart and the reason why. Why do we give? In Cain's situation, some of the significant things we see is this. Cain brought to the Lord an offering from the fruit of the ground. That's all it says. It happened during the harvest time, and it very well could have been that after he harvested and he put into his barns that which was going to protect him for the next year, there was stuff that was left. And he gathers it together and he brings it as an offering to the Lord. Many people think that that's exactly what happened with this. He brought to the Lord an offering. It doesn't say first fruits. It doesn't say the very first bushels that he gathered he brought to the Lord. It just says that there was an offering. And when we look into the rest of the passage, you see that his heart gets unpacked for what's truly lying beneath. But his brother brings the firstborn sheep. And the fat, that's the best portions. He didn't bring just the entrails to God. He didn't say, well, you know, I can't eat bones, so I'll give God the bones. He brought the best of the best to the Lord. So Abel's sacrifice was acceptable. Why? Because it was given from a heart that was in relationship with God, which understood who God was in his holiness and what he deserved in worship. And it brought what he had as the ability to give in worship. See, God will never ask you to bring to worship what you are not capable of giving. You don't need to go into debt to give to the Lord. You need to give of your first fruits. You need to give of what He has blessed you with. And it's more than just your paycheck. Darren was sharing about the blessings of being on that trip and seeing that. That wasn't the only time we saw those swans. We saw several situations like that, or the eagles that were flying overhead. And how much do we take in those moments to take a moment to say to God, thank you. Thank you. Look at the beginning of Hebrews 11 again. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. That's why we focus a little bit on nature this morning. We're told that in nature, all of creation points to the glory of God, so that no one has excuse when you stand before Him. No one will be able to say, I didn't know there was a God. Why? Because we live in a world that was created by Him beautifully and uniquely. So when you're out there and experience that, do you take a moment and you give Him an offering of praise for what that was? When you leave your house and you drive to work, or you drive to your next event that you're going to, and you arrive there, do you sit in the car before you get out and do you say, Lord, thank you, because you're the protector? How do we allow worship to become more than just a religious ritual that we do on Sundays? We allow it to live in our lives. And it becomes an overflow of lives that are in relationship with God. What are we called to present to the Lord as a sacrifice in worship? Everything He's given us. All that I am and all that I have. So, when you bring God the gift of your worship, what does that look like? Well, first of all, it means that you bring Him the worship of your heart. So I'm not going to withhold from God even how I'm feeling at any given moment. I've had people talk about the fact that, you know, when we get angry, that there's righteous anger. Now, what I want to say is this. Yes, there is righteous anger. You know, it's really hard for us to differentiate what righteous anger looks like. Why? I'm not perfect. Even in a moment when I'm having what God would say is good anger, things can creep into that, can't they? They can get a hold of your mind. They can get a hold of your heart. And the difference between my righteous anger and God's righteous anger is God is holy, holy, holy. And I am unworthy, unworthy, unworthy. Or when I'm finding humor in things, do I give to God my humor? Scripture warns us about humor because it's another place where sin can get in. And humor can become something that is inappropriate. But humor is also a part of who God is. Just take a look at Jesus and how He interacted with people. There's hilarious things that are written there. What about our weeping? Can we bring to God the weeping of our lives? When we allow weeping to consume us, our faith is not being placed in Him. But out of our tears, worship can be given to Him. So we bring Him the worship of our heart, which then flows over into all of our life. Not just an hour on Sunday morning. Not just the time when you have your Bible study or your devotions or Every moment. I met with an FCA group at Shakopee High School this last week and was able to share with them my message from 2 weeks ago. If you didn't catch that, I encourage you to go back and take a look at it because it was a prelude to Hebrews 11. But one of the things I mentioned to them was when we got to the place where they were asking, what went around the room, and there's 12 students from Shakopee High School gathered together for that meeting. And we got around the place of what are we praying for each other for the week? And my prayer that I told them was, I want my faith to encompass every aspect of my life and not just portions of it. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. May our worship this week, I'll find it here. Cause God to look down on us. It's on your sheet there, smile. May God look at your life and my life this week, and he says, the worship of my family on Sunday morning spilled over into your worship of me every day. Why was Abel? Why was his sacrifice so much more worthy? It was born out of a relationship with God. Heavenly Father, thank you. The place that we start with praise, thank you. Thank you for the fact that we can gather together, that you've called us to gather together. You did not just leave us in our sin, but that you provided the ultimate sacrifice through Jesus Christ on the cross. And our offerings and our worship and our sacrifices don't bring us salvation. But thank you that Jesus Christ did. Thank you that now every part of who we are can be brought into that relationship and then offered to you for your glory. May you be honored and glorified, Father, not just with our worship on Sunday and the songs that we sing and our engagements around these tables and here at this worship, but may you be honored and glorified with Monday morning when my feet hit the floor and every night that I rest back in my bed, may I think back and I may, Lord, you be honored and glorified with that day. You are worthy of our worship. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Please stand and join us as we sing.